So we've all been fascinated about the new public museum and what it's going to look like. And it's going up right now. I just drove past it actually yesterday, and it's pretty cool looking. But not a lot of time has been spent talking about what's going to happen to the site of the current museum and the building that's there. And it's a big, big footprint. Tom Dakin writing about this in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. As always, a very thorough, detailed job. Tom is with us in the studio. Tom, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
How big a site is this that we're talking about?
I think it's the equivalent of about two full city blocks. So maybe I should know the actual acreage, but I'll say like 3 to 4 acres. So yeah, it's a large development site. To put it in the context for your listeners to understand, envision when we took down the Park East Freeway stub and some of those plots that were left that had to be developed, it would be like the size of like one of those larger plots, right?
It's big.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so what are some of the discussions that, you know, preliminary discussions about what could possibly come of this land?
Well, the Milwaukee County owns the site, and once the museum moves out, they will then, as you've just alluded to, look for new uses for that site. And so the county's administrative services department under the county executive, under David Crawley, went with some consultants to study this very issue. And what they came back with was a report that we reported on, the Journal Sentinel reported on Wednesday, that study is on a preliminary basis recommending tearing the building down and redeveloping the land primarily for housing. And that makes sense. I mean, demand continues for housing in the Milwaukee area, probably in every metropolitan area in this country. And it could be a mix of affordable and market rate housing. And let's break those down. Market rate, just what it sounds like. You have a developer, they charge whatever they feel they can get in the market for the various apartments they develop. Affordable usually means apartments that are built, excuse me, in part with federal and state tax credits that are given to the developers to help finance those projects. In return, the developers have to lease those apartments at below market rents to people typically earning no higher than 60% of the area median income.
So under this scenario, if it turns into housing, Tom, would the county sell the land and it would be developed, or would the county still own that land and almost be like a developer or a landlord?
Oh, I think the county would look to sell the land. For one thing, the county doesn't.
They're not in that business, right?
Their skill set does not lie in development, right? Right. I mean, they're Milwaukee County. I mean, they do certain things. They provide social services. They provide mass transit. They don't go out and develop housing. That's not typically what they do. So I would almost assume for certainty that they would look to sell the land to a developer who would then proceed to build on it.
So, Tom, who would be responsible for trying to make sure that affordable housing is built? Because the last thing we need is another overpriced high-rise building that no one can afford to live in.
Well, I think that would probably go through two channels. First of all, Milwaukee County, it would be the county's decision on who they would sell the land to, excuse me. So obviously if a developer comes in and says, here's what I want to develop, here's my vision, and the county board likes that vision, then that's who I presume they would agree to sell the land to. But the city could get involved as well from the standpoint of both providing zoning approval for whatever is built there, as well as, I hate to say inevitably, but it feels inevitable, a tax incremental financing district. Because some of the costs of developing there will be extraordinarily high for the demolition aspect of the project. And I think most developers would look for a TIF district to perhaps help pay for that demolition costs. And again, that would give the common council and the mayor some leverage to say, okay, we agree, we want to see this site developed. You want a TIF district? Let's talk about the conditions upon which we will provide the TIF district.
So, Tom, a lot of these developments typically on the ground level have retail, or they have clinics, or they have something else. I assume that would be part of this. Have some of those other options been discussed?
Yeah, the study did recommend some different types of non-residential use that could be incorporated into this project. And you're absolutely right, John. The idea is typically what city planners want to see is some kind of use on the street level that activates the street, that brings more life to the street, other than just, say, an entrance into an apartment building. So they typically like to see some sort of commercial use that generates pedestrian activity, shopping activity, what have you, on that street level. They also talked about incorporating things like green space into the project as well. And excuse me, also activating MacArthur Square.
Yeah,
the great dead zone of downtown Milwaukee.
Yeah, exactly.
MacArthur Square. Yeah,
and that's a big space also.
Yeah, yeah.
Would this connect to that? Would this be kind of adjacent to that? How would MacArthur Square play into that?
It would be. Yeah, the front end of it presumably would be on the street on Wisconsin Avenue, but the back end of it would be connecting to the square. And the city has long held finding some way to activate MacArthur Square as their goal. I know in the current downtown plan, that's one of their top priorities. I think it was one of their top priorities in the two previous downtown plans. So that goes back about, 30 years, right? that they've been trying. And it's very difficult to do. If you look at old photos, historic photos of the courthouse, Kilbourne Avenue used to go all the way up to that end of the courthouse.
Yep.
And then in the 60s, during the era of urban renewal, which included some terrible planning decisions, the decision was made to shut off Kilbourne Avenue, create this square that nobody goes to, and now you're stuck with it. And of course, if you were to rebuild Kilbourne Avenue up to the square, that would be an ungodly amount of money to spend. Yep. This is one way to activate it in a way that's more economical.
So, Tom, if it isn't housing, could any developer come in with a vision and say, okay, I want to do this, and the city and the county have the autonomy to say, okay, this is what we're going to go with, even if it's not something that we originally may have thought the land would be best used for?
Well, typically, a county or a city, in this case, it's going to be the county, it's their land, they develop what's called a request for proposals, and in that RFP, they'll lay out certain parameters of what they want to see from developers. So they can say to the development community, look, we're open to your ideas, but we really want an emphasis on affordable housing, for example. And a developer who comes in and proposes something other than what's in the RFP probably runs the risk of being rejected because you didn't meet our parameters. You didn't meet the RFP parameters, so forget it. We're going to consider somebody else. That being said, sometimes RFPs don't work out, and the classic example is the Marcus Center, Performing Arts Center parking structure. We all know what happened there recently with that RFP, and it didn't work out, and the city is going back and now looking for new development partners now that Neutral out of Madison is no longer in the picture.
Hey, Tom, we've only got a minute left, but I wanted to ask you, as we sit here at West Wisconsin Avenue, I'm amazed at how different this is than it was 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Evaluate the health of downtown, especially west of the river.
Oh, well, I've only been covering this since 1991, as we were talking about earlier, and it's better now than it's ever been in the time I've been here, particularly west of the river. I mean, when I came here in the early 90s, I mean, even as much recently as, say, 10 years ago, west of the river was really lagging the rest of downtown. And now I don't really think that's the case anymore. I think the health of downtown is actually pretty good. I mean, we have a lot more activity, I think, with Fiserv Forum in the Deer District. We've had a lot more people living downtown because of the different housing developments, including office buildings that were underused being converted. And we have companies actually moving to downtown, Fiserv being one, Milwaukee Tool being another.
GKB,
so,
I mean, big companies.
Yeah, not without their problems or challenges, but I think downtown is doing pretty well.
Tom Dakin covers business for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Been doing it for a long time and does a great job. Tom,
thank you
so much for giving us some time.
Thank you, John. Thanks, Tully. I appreciate it.